Hi, everyone. This is Brian Zimmerman with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Thank you so much for tuning in. For this discussion, I'm thrilled to be joined by Nikita Duke, Vice President of Operations Behavioral Health with Fast Pace Health. Nikita, thanks so much for being here today. Can you start off by sharing just a little bit about yourself before we get going?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, thank you guys for having me. It is a pleasure to be on here. A little bit about myself. I am as you mentioned, the Vice President of Operations for Behavioral Health at Fast Pace Health. I have been in the role of leadership with the Behavioral Health Program at Fast Pace since fall of 2018. I'm actually a psychiatric nurse practitioner by trade. My goal of joining the company was to start and grow a behavioral health program. And being as a provider myself, seeing the impact we could make and the widespread communities and rural areas that Fast Pace serves, why not, a better platform to continue to grow and make a difference out there in healthcare. A little bit about my background. I actually have a history of both practice, outpatient, inpatient, and working in academia, teaching both in undergrad and graduate programs, and using hopefully all of that knowledge to put into this program and help it to grow.
Wonderful. And I appreciate you sharing that and bringing that knowledge to the podcast as well. I want to start here by just tapping on you to see if you can give listeners a sort of an overview of the current state of mental health care in rural areas. How accessible are these services? What barriers to care do these communities face? Can you give our listeners a sense of this?
Yeah, absolutely. So to start with the current state of mental health in rural areas, and that's something I even learned myself. Originally an Alabama native and learning many parts of Tennessee and Kentucky and Mississippi and other states that we serve at Fast Pace. It's amazing learning that the nearest health care for or mental health care for a lot of these rural areas can be an hour and a half away. When you're already dealing with some populations who are already dealing with not having the money to even pay for gas mileage to get there, let alone getting those providers that you trust. A lot of these small town areas, getting to know, they know everybody in their communities, and then having to trust someone with your quote unquote deepest, darkest secrets, if you're going to form a therapy relationship, can be very difficult. But one thing I'm finding is that it's just there is a lack thereof. I can see that it is hard to employ a full-time staff mental health provider in every rural area, unless they live close to the area, it's difficult to find. So that is one thing I do see. I also see the accessibility being that, as I mentioned, they're far away. There's not enough providers in those areas. I also think I mentioned small town, the stigma of it. And so maybe the stigma is there that, unfortunately you hear be strong, or you can get over it. It's something you can work through. You don't need the help. That can be a lot of the thoughts also in some of these areas. And then some of the barriers, I think obviously it's transportation, lack of a non-amenity, because again, small town, if you were to put a therapist office in the middle of a small town and people noticed your car, then there you go. Like, oh, so and so is at therapy, or so and so must be having marital issues. They're going to the marriage counselor. And I think that also prohibits people from going and getting the help that they need. And I think too, one thing too is it, again, depending on the cost, a lot of behavioral health providers, especially since COVID, since the pandemic, have gone to cash pay. And that can be very, very expensive for a lot of the consumers as well.
Yeah, truly appreciate that overview. And it just sounds to me like some of these barriers could be described as sort of universal when you think about stigma, but it just seems like the volume is potentially turned up here a little bit. Am I reading that right?
No, I mean that is true. I do think that the one blessing the pandemic gave us is more accessibility in terms of telehealth. I think that also there is over the recent years been a turn in stigma, and I think more and more people coming out and saying, "Hey, it's okay not to be okay." And when people share their stories and kind of personalize it, I think that's helped a lot too.
And just anecdotally too, I'm definitely having more conversations with leaders like yourself. So I think that that's sort of a sign of a sea change here. But before we get into, I want to get into the role of telehealth services. But how, I guess, do the circumstances you just laid out, translate into I guess how they influence health outcomes in rural communities. Can you give listeners a sense of that before we dive into the telehealth component here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's one of those things that we have to see is, and you guys probably have heard it, is behavioral health is just as important as your physical health. But in reality, they go hand in hand. Because if I'm depressed and I'm not going to feel like maybe I'm a diabetic and I'm overweight, if I'm depressed, I'm definitely not going to go feeling like, hey, I'm going to take a morning jog every morning or eat healthier. If I don't care, if I have no interest, if I have no self-motivation at the time, no enjoyment in things, then I'm not going to get excited. I'm not going to try hard to have my health better. Maybe I might have more sugar issues or cardiac issues. If I'm, someone with heart conditions and heart issues, I'm not going to have it in there. So I think, really taking care of behavioral health in a medical standpoint can make a huge impact of less hospitalizations, less healthcare dollars spent on more and more issues, maybe with sugars and different medications or people having, crises or episodes medically. But I also think you hear about rates of teenagers and kids and unfortunately, childhood and adolescent suicide. Making a difference there if we had more accessibility and more care and maybe went to these rural areas, then maybe we can make that impact. And I don't know the exact statistic right now, but I do know there were statistics in the past that pretty much show that rural areas were more at risk for adolescent suicide. So I think we can make a difference there as well and hopefully keep some of these families, their children, to be able to grow up and have long, successful lives and not in that life early.
Yeah, and I don't have those statistics handy, but I believe I've seen them as well, and they are pretty shocking. Let's push to the telehealth component here in terms of what do those services, sort of like the one your company offers, what can they how can they help sort of address some of these disparities in rural communities?
Yeah, so the good thing about the telehealth is it kind of stops a lot of our issues that we were having that I mentioned earlier about the non-amenity. Because, hey, with telehealth, you can either do this. I know with us here, at least at FastPace, a patient can go in any local FastPace health clinic. There is a, they'll give you a room and you have a private setup and you'll have a provider who will show up. They're live with the provider, but it's a virtual on a platform. We'll have like an iPad platform for you to see your provider. Or you can do this from home. And so there is no, my car pulled up at a particular office and people recognize it. I'm in the comfort of my home. Maybe people who don't want to be in crowds, afraid of going out with certain germs, et cetera, you can do this straight from home. And also, I think that's helped even providers get a little bit of insight into the home life and home environment of patients that we've never really been able to before. So I think that stomps that out greatly by having those services and not worrying about, I know we had bad weather early on this winter with snow. You don't have to miss your appointment due to the snow, or if you your car broke down or didn't have the gas money or waiting till certain times of the month to be able to pay for certain things, it's more convenience, less checkouts from kids from school possibly, or they can pretty much just go straight to school or ride off that bus for that afternoon appointment without having to rush over to an office and get in line for the waiting room. Same thing for people at work, being able to take their lunch hour maybe and go out to their car or shut their office door and be able to have that appointment. I think, and it's making it more possible for people to get the care that they need.
Yeah, it's easy to think about how this can sort of broaden access to those services and sort of navigate some of those challenges, like the anonymity piece that you pointed out. But it should be acknowledged though that there are some challenges here to sort of leveraging these services, getting these services, and thinking here about sort of potential data privacy concerns, that sort of thing. Reimbursement trends can sort of affect the adoption of this technology. Can you share a little bit about the barriers here and how you think about those?
Yeah. So, I mean, great question. So as far as privacy concerns, that is one thing that we try to make sure we do have a HIPAA compliant platform, make sure when we're on telehealth service, they're not recorded sessions or anything like that. If people have any fear of being recorded, that is not what we do here. As far as the, and more privacy is also is making sure with family members, if family member wants to be present, then, again, that's up to the patient if they're consenting, but we definitely try to offer those different places. So if they can't get away in a private place at home, then at least the clinic is also an option or vice versa. If they don't want to be in a clinic setting, then we offer the home setting. But as far as the reimbursement trends, I think, again, due to the pandemic, it kind of evened the playing field a little bit and allowed equal repayment for telehealth services. And we hope that's something that does stay. It sounds like from being at a healthcare council meeting last week that hopefully telehealth is here to stay. Hopefully it is continue to be recognized from our payers as equal, especially for behavioral health. We're pretty much doing everything we would in person, just we're on a camera, is on a iPad or a telephone instead. But essentially it's the same thing. We're gonna talk to our patients, we're gonna do all the same treatments and listening and try to evaluate that patient and take care of them as best as possible. So I'm hoping some of that stays where we have some nervousnesses. If they were to end the telehealth expansions and not have those services, I can't imagine us go backwards over the last 4 years, but that's something that we do continue to monitor and make sure that these services and insurances and large, government payers are going to continue to provide these services or accessibility for their patients.
Absolutely, something to keep an eye on there. But it does stand to reason for behavioral health, especially. It just seems like such a it just makes a lot of sense that this technology can be leveraged for this. Is that just sort of the general consensus you feel among most people out there?
I do. And for what we do, I mean, it's a little different than we don't necessarily have to be in person, being we don't have to listen necessarily, which there's some amazing tools out there even now with Bluetooth to listen to hearts and look in ears and everything now. But we don't necessarily need those in-person checkups. We're talking to our patients. And if anything, I have seen as myself as a provider, when seeing patients, it was just seeing them actually more comfortable again because that home environment and I'm talking to you, maybe some people are more nervous or may feel inferior to someone in person, but when they're at home and in their environment or they're on phone, and then something I even noticed the younger population nowadays too, it seems to if they had a phone in their hand ever since they were a toddler, messing around with phones. And that seems to be even my oldest, her comfort is she is more comfortable probably honestly to text somebody than she is in person. So I think that has also helped even our younger generation just to be more comfortable and be more open, where maybe they wouldn't have necessarily in person. So I do think behavioral health, being remotely and on telehealth is hopefully here to stay.
Thank you so much, Nikita. It's been wonderful to talk to you today. I just want to, before I let you go, just want to prompt you for any closing thoughts you want to share with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I can say is if you are having any thoughts of maybe needing help or you're on that, debating whether it's even worth it, I always say, hey, everyone can have a therapist, just someone to talk to, someone to vent to. Family and friends are amazing. If you have that supportive friends, family, absolutely use them. Sometimes there are things that when we're going through certain struggles that actually involve our family and friends, and we need that outside person who can't place judgment or know really the whole story besides from your point of view. Sometimes you need that person to vent to. So I always encourage people to go after help if it's available, to look into it. If there is a family or friend that they trust or has shared that they are also going through and getting help, talking with them what it's like. Can't always believe everything on Google. So to be careful there, I would say. And I saw something that was really neat. It's definitely not mine to claim, but on social media that someone had said when people are going through bad times, one of the things that the person on social media was sharing was to hold on to your fork. And I had to understand like, well, hold on to your fork. But what basically she was saying is, you go to a friend's house or family's and you eat supper and you're told, hey, hang on to your fork for dessert, right? So it's that concept of hanging on to your fork because maybe something better is still waiting on you coming. So hang on to that fork, I guess, is what I would tell everybody.
Well, thank you so much for those closing thoughts, Nikita. It was truly a pleasure having you on the podcast today. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir. Thank y'all again for having me.
I'd also like to thank Fast Pace Health for sponsoring this episode. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page.